giver of every breath I breathe, author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your word.
You know, a couple couple years ago, my son got me a book. And you can't see it from where you're at, I don't think. I'm looking at the camera. Ooh, don't go too close because then, yeah. It's called The McKee Name in History. Now, I don't expect this to mean a whole lot to you, but I found it quite interesting. I'm sure that for just $49.95 from Amazon.com, you could probably have one with your name, and it may have some of the same facts, who knows? But I found them to be kind of interesting along the way. As you would probably guess, with a name like McKee, they say that most of us came from Ireland. Ireland produced the largest number of immigrants to the United States during the time spanning from 1820 to 1855. One factor that led to the large surge in immigration was the Great Potato Famine from 1845 to 1849. I always wondered why I liked potatoes. I'm starting to understand now. I also thought it to be kind of interesting that during the 1800s, the most popular first name for McKees was William. Now, I know before you think it, young people, I was not born in the 1800s. Much, much later than that, and way after Larry. I also thought that it was quite interesting that, as a veteran myself, that 95.6% of the McKees enlisted in the service rather than be drafted. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I'm almost done. Life expectancy. Sunday morning. No, the day they died the most, Sunday mornings. Wasn't a physical death, just an emotional one. Heart disease, cancer, stroke, those are the top three reasons that you go. So if I bite the big one up here, you'll know what I went from. The McKee name in history. My oldest son is really into our genealogy, and he's researched it and everything, and he found that we came from Ireland in the 1820s, made our way into the United States, and really, apparently, we were one of the nine families that immigrated to Indiana. And they settled over near Columbus, and they were farmers. You know, in here, it lists famous people that had the McKee name, and the best that we could do was farmer. Tells you something, doesn't it? So you can just bring your expectations right back down there to where they need to be, and we'll study together, okay? History. Genealogies. It's kind of fascinating to find where your roots would be and where you came from and some of those things. Maybe you can even see some traits along the way that carried through. And that's kind of my hope as we're studying this book of Acts, this history of Christian origins, that we would catch hold of our roots. Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a day of Pentecost right here in Bedford? I just know people would come to watch the fire burn. See, to me, it's grand to understand your roots. And we, as the church, have incredible roots. And our passage this morning takes us to our roots. There is a heritage for the the first century church. You say, how could something that is just beginning have a heritage? Because, my friends, this incredible book is tied together from Genesis 1 to the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. It is marvelously tied together. No other book that has ever been produced has the integrity, and I'm saying that in terms of the cohesiveness that this book has, the ability to hold together. Though it has multiples of writers, their words just blend together. Written over centuries, their words blend together. It's incredible. In Acts chapter 3, our text this morning is found in verse 11 and following. It says, while the beggar held on to Peter. Now, if you were here last Sunday, you would remember that Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man went walking and leaping and praising God. We used to sing a song about that. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Don't sit there and look at me. You can sing too. He still does those things. It's not just history. It's alive today. If you'll believe, all things are possible to him that believes. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. Now, I just want to pause there for a minute. You folks think I'm tough on you. You know, people just gathered in to see what was happening, and he nailed them. He didn't just step on their toes. He said, listen to that. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. Bummer. Now, when have I ever started a sermon like that? And he goes on to say, we are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance. Come on. I know that you're stupid. As did your leaders. But this is how God foretold what he had, this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. And your heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers, he said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. There's some spectacular things in this, and I hope I can unpackage it this morning without boring you to death. I'll try. But Howard Zinn, in his book called The Politics of History, says history can suggest to us alternatives that we would never otherwise consider. It can both warn and inspire. It can warn us that it is possible for a whole nation to be brainwashed, or for enlightened and educated people to commit genocide, for a democratic country to maintain slavery, for oppressed to turn into oppressors, and for socialism to be tyrannical and liberalism to be imperialistic. For whole peoples to be led to war like sheep. It can also show us that apparently powerless underlings can defeat their rulers, that men for at least a moment of time can live like brothers, and that men can make incredible sacrifices on behalf of a cause. History teaches us that incredible things can happen when men and women put their minds and their hearts together on purpose. Amen. Our passage today outlines for us some of the rich heritage of the church. Old Testament history, if you will, that reveals the blessings that were planned by God for His people. Now, I'm going to use a phrase here, and I want to define this phrase. The phrase is this: the church is woven into the fabric of God's plan. And I'm going to tell you how. God has a plan. He has had a plan from the very beginning. How many are aware of that? It's an incredible plan. Awesome plan. It's the right plan. And from the beginning, He has been unfolding that plan in an incredible way. We, who are part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, come to Him by faith, believing in His sacrifice. We are part of that incredible plan from the beginning. That's what we're going to see this morning. You see, the people who came to Peter needed to know that this wasn't something that he was just plucking out of thin air. In other words, he said, "You are surprised, but why are you surprised that this is happening?" Because this is part of the bigger plan of God. You're just seeing the page be turned. Notice what he says: "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" It's been God's plan from the beginning. Did you know the church has been God's plan from the beginning? The Apostle Paul says, before the creations of the world, God had the plan of redemption for mankind. And He knew us. I know it bugs some people, it really kind of shakes them up when you talk about foreordination or predestination. But when you come to understand that He predestined us to be able to be saved, He set things in order, He moved things, He moved mountains, He moved peoples to bring redemption. He took Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees and brought him over and made him a wanderer in the land of Canaan because He had you and I in mind. How incredible is that? You see, the church is woven into the fabric of God's plan. First, Peter says here in his sermon, through the rejection of Jesus by Israel. Paul puts it in this way. He says, their rejection became our acceptance as Gentiles. Jesus had been glorified by the Father who these individuals claimed to worship. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus. I don't have time to go too far down this road, but you know, we need to understand glory and glorified a little bit better, because the word actually means a reputation. Jesus came to glorify, or to establish, if you will, the reputation of the Father. When you and I glorify the name of the Lord, we are working, if you will, on the reputation of the Lord. Again, Jesus' blood, Peter says, is on their hands. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, even though Pilate decided to let him go. You disowned the Holy One and the Righteous One and asked that the murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We're witnesses of that resurrection, he says. And then he changes everything, because these individuals were accustomed to everything being built on what you can do, upon the law, keeping the law, failing to keep the law. But Peter says, you did all of that. You killed the Son of God. But by faith in the name of Jesus, by faith in the name of Jesus, you can be redeemed. Everything changes. Everything changes with Jesus. Why do you think that they're so afraid for us to conclude a prayer, opening up a school session, opening up Congress? You can pray whatever you want in whatever manner you want, but when you pray in the name of Jesus, everybody gets shook. Isn't that strange? No. Why are we surprised? That's the name that is above every name. It's the name that in Matthew 1:21 he said, call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Peter says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Jesus. Romans chapter 10 picks this up in the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome. In verse number 1, he says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they're zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God, Jesus, and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Romans 11:11, again I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all, but rather because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. Verse 17, if some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild shoot, have been grafted in among others, now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this, you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. He's saying it's not a game. You and I in the church, the Gentiles in the church today, the gospel has come to us with fervor and excitement and glory and power because Israel rejected that truth. Their disobedience, their lack of belief opened up the door. Like Jesus said, you know, he gave the parable. He said a banquet feast was called, and the invited guests were invited to come, and they didn't show. They were too busy. They had too many other things going on. So he told the servants, he said, go into the highways and the byways and collect the stuff that my house may be full. Guess what? We are those outcasts. We are the stuff. We are those individuals that should not be. But because of his love, he invited us in. But oh, be careful with even that parable, because you'll notice that some came in of those guests, but they came in improperly dressed. That is, they were trying to come in under their own rules, their own design. And they said, pick them up and throw them out. That's what Jesus said. There's only one way for you and I to be woven into the fabric of God's plan, and that is by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other name, there's no other thing, there's nothing that you can do. You can't be good enough, you can't work your way into the fabric of God's plan. It's only through the power of Jesus Christ. One day a little lady came and said to Jesus, she said, would you touch my child? And Jesus said, no. Incredible. He said, no. He said, the Son of Man has come to the house of Israel. And she said, yes, Lord. But even the dogs get to eat the crumbs from under the table. And he sent her on her way and said, your faith has healed you. Just lest you haven't gotten all the understanding, those Gentile dogs is who he's talking about. Those who had no right to the table. Well, I'm so thankful that dogs get the crumbs. I'm so thankful, and this sounds weird, I know, but I'm so thankful that Israel rejected the promise. I want to see them as the Apostle Paul. I want to see them saved. Truly, I do. I want to see them saved. But you see, if their rejection meant my acceptance, then I have no choice but to say, I'm glad they rejected, because I get to know Jesus. But you be certain of this, folks. Let our heritage teach us a lesson, that if those who were God's intimate people, his wife, if you will, if he would reject them because of their disobedience and their unbelief, then how much more those of us who have been grafted into that tree? Secondly, this morning, the church is woven into the fabric of God's plan through his promises to the patriarchs. God made promises to Abraham. And because of Jesus, those promises are ours. Genesis 22:17, he said to Abraham, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. All nations on earth can only be the church. Because of Jesus, the seed of Abraham, the church is blessed. The church exists. The church fulfills the promise that God gave to Abraham. We have a heritage. God confirmed that promise to Isaac in Genesis 26:2. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I will tell you to live. Verse 4, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees, and my laws. Israel's inheritance from God was a land of promise. Your and my inheritance from God was the seed of Abraham. We have Jesus. I don't think many folks really understand how precious that name really is. And the power and the glory of that one who is that name. The blessings of Abraham come to the church through Jesus. Galatians chapter 3 verse 6 says, consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. I'm Abraham's kid. And all the blessings that God promised to Abraham are mine. The scriptures foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. When he said, all nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Something just flew right in my face. At least I hope. Or it may be this. Folks, you realize this. So, you know, I don't like to read in the Old Testament. It just doesn't seem relevant to me. Oh, come on. You don't understand. By faith, we are grafted into that branch. That everything that the patriarchs saw and enjoy, everything that every piece of how they come to understand God is mine, it's yours, because of Jesus. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on the tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I said the church is woven into the fabric of God's plan through His promises to the patriarchs. Thirdly, this morning, the church is woven into the fabric of God's plan through the messages of Moses. Over there in verse number 22, he makes mention, he says, for Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. That's a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, 18, and 19. You must listen to him, for this is what you asked the Lord at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, for nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. God will raise up a prophet like Moses. His name is Jesus. You must listen to him, for he's speaking God's words. How many times did Jesus say, hear me? Jesus came to bring fulfillment to the messages of Moses. This includes the law, church. Jesus said, don't you think that I have come to destroy the law? I came to fulfill it. In the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I, as the church, we can walk in the fulfillment of the law of God. It was impossible for the nation of Israel to do it because they were doing it under their own strength. But you and I, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, can walk in the completion of the law. Amazing. Galatians 3:19 says, what then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of the transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. Verse 21, is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But Scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Everything that is promised as a result of living to the fulfillment of the law has been given to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, everything that Moses and Joshua and all the people of Israel were trying to attain has come through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to the church. Blink once for yes, blink twice for no. All the benefit that God intended for the law to achieve is obtained by the church. Galatians 3:23, before this faith came, we were prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we're no longer under the supervision of the law. I'm not so concerned of whether or not they will let us put the Ten Commandments on the lawn of the courthouse. Let me stand on its steps and tell people about Jesus. Wait a minute, I got to think about that. Do I agree? Well, maybe. I don't know. I like the law was made for the transgressors. The law was something that men worked to obtain by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We fulfill the law of God. He writes it on our hearts, not on tablets of stone, unless your heart's a stone. Might be possible. Galatians 3:26, you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and you're heirs to the promise. I just want you to realize, see, I'm not making this stuff up. This is actually in the book. Every promise in the book is ours. Every chapter, every verse, every line, it's ours. This is the heritage of the church, that by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are woven into the fabric of God's plan from the very beginning to the awesome end. We are in the midst of God's plan. You know, I look at this little book of the McKees' name in history and I get a little tickled, you know. I think, ooh, wow, that's kind of neat. It's like occupations in England and life expectancy and cause of death and all of that, American family. You know, it kind of just goes, oh, isn't that neat? But then I pick up this book and I look at my heritage. And I see that Abraham lived a lifetime on the promises that God made to him, and he never saw them fulfilled. Isaac came along and he lived under the same promise that God had made to his father, and Isaac lived out his life and never saw it fulfilled. And Jacob came along and lived out his entire life under the canopy of that promise and never saw it fulfilled. And generation after generation after generation of Israelites lived under the promise of Abraham and never saw it fulfilled. And then Jesus came. And immediately he opened up the door and he said, even the dogs can come in. Even the Gentiles, even those who are unworthy, even those that don't have any great lineage or character, you know, any great chronological genealogy to look back to and be able to call their names. Can you believe that the Apostle Paul says we are a kingdom of priests? after the dispersion of the people of Israel, and they were sent off to some to Assyria and some into Babylonia. And when they were off and they got ready to come back, many of the priests could not serve as priests because they couldn't find their family names in the records. You see, they were bound to pieces of paper. They were bound to tablets of stone. They were trying to understand and frame God around writings and genealogies. I'm proud to say this morning that because He lives, I'm a priest before my God. That means that I can come in. Oh, I'm not just any old priest. I'm like the high priest who could only go one time behind the curtain with blood and with a little rope tied to him and little dingly bells so that they could tell if he was still alive or not. I get to be high priestly, where I can come behind the curtain into the presence of God. And He invites me into His presence. He said, Bill, come on in. I want you to come in. I want you to commune with me. I want to have fellowship with you and you with me. Come on in. Enjoy the presence of the Lord. See, we don't just get the promises from afar. We get them close and up close. He's invited us to come in and participate, to take hold of His promises. He said, if any man ask anything in my name, it shall be done of my Father in heaven. I challenge you, find in the Old Testament any person of Israel that got that kind of an invitation. I challenge you to find a person in Israel, a single one, Elijah or Elijah, the prophets, grand and glorious prophets who were ever given the promise of God, where He says, my Spirit will be in you. Ah, listen, you don't have to get excited. I can feel it. Just go ahead. Just sit there. That's fine. Because I... Unbelievable. What God has afforded you and I, they were looking forward to. They were longing for. Elijah wishes that he had one day that you and I have. You see, he'd have to have somebody come and play an instrument so that he could wait for the Spirit of God to come upon him so he could prophesy. Or experience the power. You saw it fly by again. You don't believe me? He's here. I'm just really concerned that I'll have my mouth wide open. This thing's going to come flying in. Are you with me? You understand? You see, it's not just that we have a heritage that we can look back to and go, oh, you know, that's really cool. It's the fact that everything that those people were promised, we get to fulfill. Now, how good is that? Wow. Finally, the church is woven into the fabric of God's plan through the proclamations of the prophets. Oh, I wish I had a week, because this is incredible. Peter says, indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. In other words, everything that the prophets spoke, everything that they prophesied, they were prophesying about this day. It may have had an immediate notation to it, something that happened on that day. But the real crux of the matter, the real reason that they were putting it down, was because of the day that we're living in. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12, Jesus would be betrayed by 30 pieces of silver. And Matthew chapter 26, verse 15 tells the price of his betrayal, 30 pieces of silver. Psalm 27, 12 said that there would be false witnesses against Jesus. Matthew 26, 60 to 61 tells about the false witnesses that came forward to speak against Jesus. Isaiah 50 verse 6 said Jesus would be spit upon. Matthew 14, 65 says he was. Isaiah 53, 12 said Jesus would be crucified with sinners. Matthew 27, 38 tells of two thieves who hung with him on the cross. Psalm 22, 6 through 8 tells of him being mocked and insulted. Matthew 27, 39 to 41 confirms that he was. His death, burial, resurrection, ascension, All were prophesied and all were fulfilled. And by the way, the prophet Joel said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood, fire, and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone, and everyone, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The church age was prophesied by Jesus. In Matthew 24:14, he says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. Do you realize that you and I, in 2013, December 1st, 2013, are nestled into the pages of God's Word? We're not just looking back. We're a present feature of the fabric of God's plan. God has a purpose. God has a people. God has a power that He is desiring to flow through the church, that in the last days, we would be preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth. Yes. 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 You know, folks, it's true whether you acknowledge it or not. He has redeemed us from darkness and brought us into His glorious light that we could shine like cities set on a hill which cannot be hid. He has proclaimed that those that belong to Him are lights. Just like He is the light of the world, He said, you are the light of the world. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, full of all the blessings of Abraham, fulfilling all of the law and all of the prophets. We are a fulfillment of God's plan upon this earth. We are here, not of our own, not to do our own thing, but to be the church. This glorious, powerful witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them shame Him if they will. Let the world reject them if they desire. But let the church stand up and say, in Him I live and move and have my being. Say what you will about Jesus. Curse Him if you will. But I will stand for His name, because through Him and in Him, all the nations of the world are blessed. I know Jesus. I proclaim to you Jesus. And by the way, my friends, the prophesying isn't over yet. Because see, those who belong to Him, those who are His by promise, those who are His in fulfillment of all of the law and the prophets, are looking for a day. Because Jesus said, I'll come again. He's going to step up to the threshold of heaven. Now, don't ask me, because I don't know exactly how this is all going to transpire. But you see, I have a confidence builder because I've read the rest of the book, and everything that He promised, everything that He prophesied in the past has come true. You can't find one thing that He prophesied in the past that hasn't come to pass unless it's yet to take place. So I have this confidence built upon what He's done in the past that says what He said is going to happen in the future is going to happen. And He said He's coming back. So you know what? I get up and I look out the curtain to see if the eastern sky has been broken. One glad morning. I'll fly away, O glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Why? Because Jesus ties me to the past and gives me an assurance for the future. Now, what more could you want from that? Past, present, and future. What a church. Father, thank you this morning for the heritage that we have as Jesus has sown us into the fabric of your plan in days past. Thank you that we are grafted into the branch, into the root, to draw your spirit. Not like Elijah, not like Elijah, but like the church. You said he longed for our days. Oh God, I pray that you would help us to realize what is available to us. Who we are in you. And what your plan is for our days. Help us to let go of the accumulation of stuff. The chasing after the wind, as the world is chasing. And may we realize that in you, Lord Jesus, there is life, there is hope, there is power, and there is an incredible future. I pray this morning for any person that is sitting in this room who does not have the connection to the plan of God, Jesus, in their lives. I pray that before they would leave this house this morning, that they would bend their knee and lay down their life and all that they can do and let Jesus take over and give them a heritage, to give them a future and make their day today to be joy unspeakable and full of glory.